Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Shift on CHUO 89.1 FM. I'm Mara Bélanger, and here is your morning news. As Russian forces continue their full-scale invasion into Ukraine, members of Ottawa's Ukrainian community grow more concerned for their loved ones back home. Russia gathered thousands of troops at the Ukrainian border for weeks while the world looked on. Last week, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced a military operation for the demilitarization and denazification of Ukraine, whose president is Jewish. Beginning on Thursday, Russian forces have attacked Ukraine from multiple directions, targeting vital infrastructure such as airports and hospitals. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has fully mobilized the Ukrainian military and has called on all able-bodied Ukrainians of fighting age to take up arms. Russian forces breached the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv on Friday, causing tens of thousands to flee and resulting in over 100 civilian casualties. Michael Kostyuk is a member of Ottawa's Ukrainian community and an expert in Ukrainian geography and Slavic studies. He has family and friends living in Kyiv, who he hasn't heard from since the invasion began.
A week ago, I was asked about my relatives in Ukraine. I said they're probably not going to be in danger because they're in the far west, and the fighting was probably going to be around Luhansk and Donetsk in the far east. Well, yeah, the rockets hit the airport, and I don't know if they hit the street or houses where my relatives are. So things have changed dramatically. Ukraine is being attacked from all sides, and it's a very dangerous situation, obviously.
Kostyuk, who has traveled to Ukraine for work and study on many occasions, understands the complexity of the Russo-Ukrainian conflict on both a personal and academic level. He was studying at a university in Kyiv in 1991 when the Communist Soviet Union disbanded. It was reformed into 12 independent republics, including Russia and Ukraine. Kostyuk recalls a sense of optimism and unity shared among Ukrainians at the time, even in regions with disputed allegiances, such as Donbass.
And I was living with a coal mining family in the city of Donetsk, which is one of the hot spots right now, the place supposedly where it wanted to separate. But I can tell you, when I was there in 1991, everybody there at that time wanted to be independent of the Soviet Union. They were very positive about the future of Ukraine. Their perspective was, you know, an independent Ukraine was going to be prosperous and they'd be better off economically. And that's kind of driving force often for many people, a better economic situation, improved quality of life for the family and whatever. So.
Now an independent constitutional republic with a distinct sense of national identity, Ukraine is proving itself difficult to conquer. On Friday, Russian forces captured the southern city of Kherson, which Ukrainians reclaimed over the weekend. Additionally, the Russian push into Kyiv and the northeast between Chernihiv and Kharkiv was paused over the weekend to allow reinforcements to arrive. Men aged 18 to 60 have been forbidden by the government from fleeing Ukraine and have been instructed to stay behind to aid the war effort. On Sunday, Zelensky created the International Legion, a militia of volunteers intended to protect world security from the Putin regime. He has called on residents of foreign nations to join the fight against Russia. Russia's military strength is far superior to Ukraine's. The Russians are bolstered by aid from Belarusian forces and support from separatists in the Donbass region. Even so, Kostyuk says Ukrainians are unlikely to give up their independence willingly.
They're just going to keep fighting. You know, they've had their independence since 1991. They're not going to give up. On social media, I'm contacting a lot of people over there, too, you know, and it's just like, no, they're just going to keep fighting and fighting. And Putin thinks Ukraine is just going to roll over. No, it's not. And it's got a history of insurgency that goes way back, you know, to the Second World War, too, so.
Amidst sanctions and condemnation from world leaders, Putin has put Russia's nuclear and strategic missile forces on their highest alert status. He has threatened that direct military action against Russia would result in consequences they have never seen. On Sunday, the United Nations responded by calling a rare emergency meeting of the General Assembly to be held the following day. During the meeting, member nations condemned Russia's war against Ukraine and urged Putin to withdraw his forces. Some countries in close proximity to Russia expressed a fear that they would become future victims of Russian conquest. Russia has long been opposed to Ukraine's independence, challenging the Republic's attempts to join the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO. In December, Putin sent a list of demands to the United States, requesting that Ukraine be banned from joining NATO. Additionally, Russia demanded that NATO withdraw weapons and supplies from countries which entered the alliance after 1997, many of which are former Soviet Union member states. The demands were rejected by the U.S. and NATO, but it is widely believed that Putin's ultimate objective is to resurrect and reunify the Soviet Union, one country at a time.
It's rebuilding the old Russian Empire. And when it collapsed and it was taken and became the Soviet Union due to just a continuation of the Russian Empire. Countries like Ukraine at the end of the Soviet Union, when they left that empire. And Putin has said many times that he said, like, you know, the end of the Soviet Union was one of the tragedies of the 20th century. They are basically a Eurasian sort of a nation. That most of the territory is in Asia, whereas Ukraine still considers its history to go back to the Kiev Rus period of about 1,000 years ago. And Ukraine is basically considered the South, a European country. So you have a European-oriented country versus a Eurasian mentality. That itself differentiates them quite a bit. So they have different histories and different dynamics there. So for Putin to say that Ukraine is part of Russia, no, it isn't. It's not historically part. It makes a good speech, but it's not really based on reality.
On Monday, the Ukrainian government announced it is using a special procedure to apply to the European Union. Membership to the EU would provide stronger protections for the democratic rights and freedoms of Ukraine. Additionally, the EU says it will supply Ukraine with firearms to combat Russian aggression, a first for the coalition. Other European nations, such as Poland and Romania, which are close neighbors of Ukraine, have stepped in to shelter hundreds of thousands of displaced Ukrainians. The UN reported on Monday that 500,000 refugees have already fled, and many more are expected to lose their homes before the conflict is over. Kostyuk, whose loved ones may be among the refugees, says those who have managed to flee to safety are in danger of losing their homes for good.
Anytime there's a mass exodus of people, what happens to their property? Is someone else going to get their property, which could possibly happen if Russia tries to take over the entire country? I mean, you know, it's a heartbreak for the people, right? Because who are they leaving behind? Are they going to bring everybody with them? And maybe not everybody wants to go. It won't be over like that. So it's just going to continue. These warnings that Putin said, you know, don't do anything or there'll be consequences. He's setting the stage for future attacks in other countries too, you know.
On Sunday, the Ukrainian Ministry of Internal Affairs reported 352 civilian casualties, with the attacks in Kharkiv on Monday morning adding dozens more. Talks on Monday between Kyiv and Moscow resulted in both parties agreeing to continue negotiations. This has been your morning news. For CHUO 89.1 FM, I'm Mara Bélanger.